Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, back on March 29th, United Steelworkers went on strike against Allegheny Technologies. It was an unfair labor practice strike. And, you know, as you know, this ATI company has been one that problems for years. In fact, I remember a couple years ago, they were actually advertising on Craigslist to bring scabs in to the plant out in Pittsburgh. But they're striking 9 facilities across the country, 1,300 members. Haven't seen a raise since 2014. So all during this pandemic, basically nothing. And now the company's going, well, we're going to use this as an opportunity to claw some more back. And the union's saying, no, we're going to take a stand and we're going to protect our members. And some good news coming out of the Biden administration, as part of the American Rescue Plan, these people on strike are going to be able to get their COBRA benefits paid through September 20th. I think it's September 20th, if I'm not mistaken. This is huge. This is going to give them the opportunity to stay just one day longer. And I've got a couple of folks who have been on the picket line up in Massachusetts. My Teamster brother, Dan Brush, and a steel worker and a worker at ATI, Dan Oliveira. Guys, thanks for taking time for us.
It's Joe Oliveira. Thanks for having me.
Oh, Joe. I'm sorry, Joe. Let's start with you, Joe. What's going on?
Well, like you said, we've been trying to negotiate a fair deal with ATI, and it's just not working out. They just keep asking for more and more concessions, and you know, the guys at the top keep making big bonuses, and they keep coming back at us where they don't have any money to give us raises and want us to pay more for our health care, and it just goes on and on.
And you guys have been going through this for a couple of contracts now. This isn't new for you guys, is it?
No, in 2015, like you said, they locked us out for 7 months. We finally came to an agreement that put us back to work in 2016. So last year, we actually started negotiating a new contract, which we went 2 months. It didn't work out. Back in March of last year, we ended up coming to an agreement to give them a one-year extension when all the pandemic started taking off. So we did that. We started again this past January, renegotiating. And again, it's the same story. We didn't get any further than we did a year ago. And it's the same sob story. We don't have any money. We can't afford this, can't afford that. But as you know, we never closed during the pandemic. We worked right through. All we got was a letter saying we were essential workers. And if we got stopped on the way to work, we could show them those letters. But
that's it. That's terrible.
That's it.
So let me ask you, my brother Teamster, you know, what brings you down into this? What brings you into this strike situation?
I personally, if I know there's a strike anywhere near by, I don't care what local it is, what union it is, I stop by. I have to do that. I've been on strike through my shops before where I've worked in the past. I've always supported my brother Teamsters, and I just think it's a moral and social obligation that I have to do that.
The solidarity.
Solidarity, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is a fight for the middle class, for the heart and soul of our country. And every picket line is that fight, and I am going to stand there and fight with everybody. And I go there every night that I am not tired, not so tired that I have to just go to bed when I get home from work. I show up and I march with Joe and all the boys. It's great. It's a privilege.
It's great having him on the picket line. It shows a lot of solidarity with other locals and other unions that come down and support us. It's great.
Now, the reason I thought it was important that the both of you are here, because look, you know, this is an injury to one being an injury to all. And when all hands on deck, and I think it's great that you're there, Dan. But let me go back to you, Joe Oliveira, because, you know, I had a couple of people email me and send me direct messages saying that the boss, I guess, showed up with his Jaguar and revving the engine and going through the line. So I'm getting this straight, because I want to make sure I've got this. We're too poor. We can't give you raises. We can't get the health care. We can't keep your working conditions. Sorry. We need cuts from you, but I can take my Jaguar and I can race through your picket line. Am I missing something here?
To be honest with you, I think it's a little bit exaggerated.
Okay.
There is a supervisor at the plant that does own a Jaguar, and he does come by every morning to go in. He's one of the better supervisors we have, but him racing through the picket line, no, that never happened.
Okay.
Of course, stories get blown out of proportion, but we do have a couple of the plant manager and a couple of the other guys there that they do disrespect us on a regular basis.
And the police were worried tonight about the guys advancing through the picket line a little rapidly. They kept flashing the lights at them. We were talking to them about that earlier. Said they're getting a little close. I was getting nervous, but we're keeping it as orderly as we can.
Good. Yeah. No, this is one of those things that I've been on strike in the past, and nobody wants that. And I don't know any working person who's happy when it happens, but there are times when you don't have a choice. And obviously you guys are at this juncture. What's the morale like on the picket line right now? I mean, you guys have been out since March 29th. We're a couple of weeks into this. What's so far the morale like for you guys?
Right now it's great. I know out of the 9 facilities that ATI, we're probably one of the smallest ones, but we have great support. All the guys keep showing up when they're supposed to. And everybody's still upset. I mean, they feel they've been disrespected for the last 7 years without a raise. And actually, if we were to take what they were giving us now, it would be 11 years without a raise, because what they're offering is they make it seem like they're offering you a raise, but all it is money that ends up getting put back to pay for our health care. So it's really not a raise. It's a wash. So it would be 11 years without a raise. Everybody's very upset about that. So hey, it just helps our morale, actually.
It was raining today. It was steady snow. The wind was blowing off the ocean, and these guys were, everyone was there, and we were marching, and there's no grumbling. We were all right there. They're very proud. I did not see anybody. No one was downcast, period.
No, and that's good. But, you know, we're in this moment where, you know, as you guys have pointed out, you went through the entire pandemic. You did exactly what the country asked you to do. You did what the company needed to do. What we need, we called you heroes, and we called you essential, and we gave you all these titles. And now, when you're going, hey, I'd like to support my family. I'd like to make sure that our health is secure and our retirement is secure. Now they're saying, sorry, you're not so essential anymore. Am I getting that?
No. Yeah, that's about right.
And it's interesting because I was talking to the they had a couple of police officers on duty, one at least, while we're there on the picket line, just to make sure that everything's orderly, of course. And I was talking to the officer, he's a very nice person. They haven't had we have a Democratic mayor in our town, New Bedford, and they don't have a contract. They've been out without a contract for several years. And he's like saying the same thing you're saying, sir. It's like, we're a hero when they need us. When someone's hurt, there's a shooting, there's some crazy thing we got to respond to. But then when it comes to taking care of us, they just forget about it instantly. And workers in general are just treated that way.
Yeah,
it's
this is sad. This is where I come back to our labor laws are so broken in our country. The power is all in the hands of the employer. The pendulum has swung way too far to the corporate side. And why we need something big, something like the PRO Act, to swing that balance of power back to somewhere near the middle, to where then maybe you don't have corporations like this, who every contract comes down to a lockout or a situation where you're at the brink of a strike or having to go on strike just to protect what you have and to be able to feed your families. This is where I keep coming back to. We need major comprehensive labor law reform.
Oh, I agree. 100%.
So how can folks help you?
Absolutely.
How can we help? Because, you know, this is one of the, I know this is, you're at the beginning of this. This is a tough time. Good news with the Biden administration coming out with the American Rescue Plan. At least your health care is going to be covered through September. I pray it doesn't go that long. But at least that part of this you're fairly secure in, right?
Yeah, correct. Yes.
We just got to keep rolling. We got to get the PRO Act passed. And that isn't strong enough. We should have card check legislation without a ULP being fired first. You know, it's like, from what I understand, you can have card check recognition for organizing if an unfair labor practice is filed, right? That still isn't a good way. I mean, in many parts of the world, they have sector bargaining. They have sector unions. So you don't have to go employer by employer. And we should be looking at that. We're so far behind, you know, Western civilization in our labor laws is ridiculous. And you're absolutely right. The pendulum has swung so far to the, you know, right to the side of the employers the workers, we're just getting the middle class. There is no middle class. It's the well-to-do, and it's the people that are struggling so hard every day just to pay their families and have a little bit of food on the table for their kids. And good luck if we can afford to send them to college. You know, it's unbelievable.
No, it is unbelievable. And, you know, every time I talk to folks like you guys on strike or just fighting to hold on to what you've got, it's never about making a killing. It's just about just making it to tomorrow. And sadly, you see these big companies that have gotten wealthier and wealthier and deregulated to the point to where it's harming our communities. And it's all done on the backs of you and me and working people across our country. And I'm sadly, you're the ones who are fighting the fight right now, but I'm kind of glad you are.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate it. Appreciate all the support we've been getting right along. And hopefully support continues for us.
So there's so much work we have to bring back to our country. Right now, we have a lot of assembly lines that are closing down because they cannot get the semiconductors that they need to build these automobiles, you know, American-made automobiles. We need to bring that work back to our country so we can have that manufacturing here. And not letting these companies go to the cheapest, lowest paid workforce they can find. We've got to keep the work here, pay our people a decent wage, and then we won't run into these problems. We need to be able to be making all this stuff here. And this, it just turns into a big problem when we ship it all offshore, because then all of a sudden we're too dependent on somebody else, and now more people are going to be out of work.
No, if this pandemic showed us anything, is that we're heavily dependent on everybody else. Our supply chain's very weak. And in talking about that, what do you guys make at ATI where you're at?
Well, flat roll steel. We do we're a finishing plant, so we do a lot of the end stuff. A lot of it goes to automobile manufacturing, where there's gaskets. We actually do a lot of stuff with titanium, so a lot of government contracts, helicopter blades, a lot of medical stuff, pacemaker, a lot of stuff like that. And again, our facility is a finished facility. Out of everyone in that ATI, we make. We roll down with probably the lightest gauge out of all of us. So it's a very important part of the company, I believe.
And as I understand, and again, direct messages and messaging can be off. I am understanding that they're bringing scabs across your picket line, or has that not happened yet?
No, that's correct. It started midway through last week. It started with 6 scabs. Then towards the end of the week, they added another 4. And now this week they've added another 4 on top of that. So we're up to 14 scabs in our facility. And I know across the other plants, they started last week as well.
So what's interesting to me, and I don't know what your situation is, but every time I see one of these scab situations, they pay the scabs a lot more money than what you guys were asking for. In fact, by the time one of these strikes ends, they probably would have paid in scab pay what they would have paid to just give you a decent, honest contract from the beginning without causing all this strife. So I'm curious, you know, what kind of wages are they handing out to these scabs?
I'm not positive about they actually pay the scabs. I can tell you this. They hired scab force. They hire a security force, which is there 24/7. So these guys are making good money. There's 2 guys at each location, at each gate, let's say. So they're there 12 hours, then they switch out another 2 guys at the other gate. And now they also have to pay for a police detail to be there to watch us, because I guess they don't feel safe as we're picketing. So now you have 2 police officers, which again, they hand off their shift to another 2 at the end of the day. So you're paying these guys big money. All this money could have been put towards giving us a contract. And oddly enough, what we were asking for in our contract proposal could have been funded with what the CEO makes in a bonus for the last 2 years. His bonuses could have paid for this contract for the next 4. So
it seems like it's more about power and control than about actually paying you some money.
This one of the big gripes going into negotiations this year was the company admitted they had $656 million in cash on hand, which is a record for this company. But yet the first thing they told us on the first day of negotiations is we don't have any money to give you guys a raise unless we find savings somewhere else in the contract. So basically, if you guys decide you're going to pay more for your labor, for your healthcare costs, we'll give you a raise from those savings. Well, that's not really a raise. All you're doing is taking money from one side, swinging it to the other, and here's your raise.
Yeah, so I love that. We've got money.
A raise. They'd like, Yeah, we got money. We just don't want to give it to you.
Just not for you.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a last line of question, because one, from you, Joe, I want to get, you know, what I can do to help, what people can do to help you out. And from Dan, I want you to give the solidarity message of why we every time you pass a picket line, you should stop and bring donuts and participate. Joe, let's go with you. How can I help?
Cash donations, checks, anything would help, because we're not able to collect unemployment in this state.
And how do we do that?
You can send the checks to 486 Orchard Street, New Bedford, Mass. 02745, and that's the USW office in New Bedford, local 1357.
We'll look that up and get the address out on social media. I suggest a GoFundMe account would probably not be a bad idea. Dan, you got the last word.
So we got to take care of each other. We're Americans. Americans take care of Americans. You know, and it's us against people with a lot of money who really don't understand that, you know, and we don't need money to have Jaguars. We just want to be able to take care of our families and be a little bit comfortable, afford to go out to see a movie with our family when the theaters open again, or take a little vacation and not have to charge it on our credit card and then play catch up for the next 6 months, you know, and we're not able to do that. People, you know, like me, like Joe, have. This has just steadily dwindled away during the course of our lifetimes. And our parents didn't have this problem. And unfortunately, this has been going on for too many decades. And we're really at a point where we need to stand together, support each other, and give everybody the dignity and respect they deserve at work, because we're not getting it.
Amen, brother. What I'll say to you, one day longer, brothers, I wish you the best. I hope this is short, and I hope you're standing there one day longer. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, sir.
Dan Bush and Joe Oliveria. Look, you know, like I told you, I bet on strike myself. It's not fun. I give these guys credit for having the stones to stand up and say, we're not taking it anymore. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, our expert all-star panel going to share some thoughts on the week's news. Quick break, right back.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.